This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. The words are terrifying, flesh-eating bacteria. And there are a couple of cases related to the Metro Atlanta area that have received a great deal of attention in recent days. Amy Copeland, the West Georgia student who has already faced several amputations, and a South Carolina woman, Lena Kuykendall, who gave birth here in Atlanta, but then had problems after she got back home to South Carolina. Dr. William Schaffner is chair of the Department of Preventive Medicine at the Vanderbilt University School of Medicine in Nashville. Dr. Schaffner, good to have you. Welcome.
Hello, Dennis. Good to be with you.
We hear this sort of thing is very rare, and yet when you hear about what has happened, particularly to Amy Copeland, it's terrifying. How rare is it?
These are rare infections. They occur in several hundreds throughout the United States on an annual basis. They're scattered. They don't cluster. This is not a communicable infection in any way.
Let's start with Amy Copeland. Apparently, she contracted this after she got a deep cut and fell into from falling into some water after a homemade zip line broke. Lots of people get cut and go into the water. Was there anything particularly special about her case that allowed this bacterium to get into her system?
Let's review probably what happened to her. These are soft tissue infections that are usually located rather deeply within the tissue, within the muscle. And so she had an injury that was penetrating deep into her flesh, and then it got contaminated by bacteria that were in the water that she happened to be in. These are bacteria that just live in the water. Despite wound care, after the wound was closed, that bacteria was still lodged deep in her tissue and was able to progress and create this horrendous infection. That happens rarely. Thousands of injuries occur every day in the United States. We know how to care for them, but every once in a while, something like this will happen.
Now, this bacterium, as I understand it, is called Aeromonas hydrophila. Is that right?
Aeromonas hydrophila. That's
hydrophila.
Correct. And this Aeromonas bacteria lives in the water, fresh water, usually kind of brackish water. And it got into her wound, and it has the capacity to create an infection despite the fact that it's in an environment where there's very little oxygen. It's very deft that way in being able to take advantage of that opportunity.
Is there anything about the water, say, in this area or in this part of the country or in that particular river that might be more conducive to this bacteria? Or was this just a case of a lot of things coming together to form a very rare instance of this infection?
It's more the latter, Dennis. It was a sequence of events. This is actually a bacteria that is present in waters, fresh waters, throughout the United States. And mind you, I could go swimming in exactly the same place where Amy had her injury, get covered with this Aeromonas, which is, of course, microscopic, and come out and be perfectly fine. So this is not a bacteria that burrows into the skin. It had to be provided an entryway deep into those tissues.
But people do get cut in the water. Certainly anybody who's been in a river and gotten cut on a rock knows exactly how easily that can happen. Yet not everybody has this sort of consequence. Any idea what could have happened here?
Well, exactly as you say. So for the most part, when we provide wound care, when these people come to medical attention, it works out to the benefit of the patient. We do a very good job. But on occasion, medicine is not perfect, something like this will happen. Now, if the person is older, if they have underlying illnesses, if there's a long delay in seeking care, those things can contribute to an unhappy result.
So there's nothing that says we're seeing more of this than we used to. It has certainly gotten a great deal of attention and perhaps might get people to exercise the right preventive measures if something happens, but we're not seeing anything that should cause alarm in terms of the rest of the population.
No, I think I can be very reassuring in that regard. There's no increase in necrotizing fasciitis, this flesh-eating bacteria infections around the country. These were two cases that happened to be linked geographically. They had nothing to do with each other. And frankly, the second case is receiving publicity because Amy Copeland's case has become so prominent.
Lena Kuykendall's case, though, is a different bacterium, isn't it?
Yes. The same sort of clinical infection can be caused by different bacteria. And in Lena Kuykendall's case, it is more likely that she was the source in her own body of the bacteria. In Amy Copeland's case, the bacteria had to come from the outside.
So in Lena Kuykendall's case, there was something already in her body, you're saying, that when perhaps because of the rigors of childbirth, it was able to get someplace where it hadn't been before?
You know, that's exactly right. And we should remember, we live in a microbial environment externally and internally. We have bacteria in and around our teeth, back in our throats, in our stool, in the vaginal canal, the birth canal. And so a bacteria that was in one of those places during her giving birth to twins got into the bloodstream and found that spot in the back of Lena Kuykendall's leg and decided to cause an infection there. A very unusual event, but it's been recorded in the medical literature before, but fortunately, very rare.
Now, she was in a place where one would think the care would already exist. She was in a hospital, and as you know, there have been a lot of concerns raised over the years about the risk of infection from being in a hospital. Is there anything that hospitals can do, and certainly we're still waiting to get all the facts of this case, but is there anything that hospitals in general can do better to try to keep something like this from happening?
Well, hospitals do all sorts of things to prevent the sort of hospital-associated infections that we're all familiar with. And we don't know exactly what happened in her case. Now, it is very important to understand that one of the things that led her to a good result is that the infection was sufficiently close to the surface of her thigh such that you could see that something was going on deep within. This was not the case with Amy. Amy's infection was so deep that the wound she had looked perfectly normal. So Lainey was benefited with early diagnosis. The doctors were able to figure out rather quickly what was going on.
Is there anything that we can do when we got cut that we don't already know how to do to keep something like this from happening?
We have to do what we know how to do. Make sure that you clean out the wound, and if there's anything unusual about it, if it has any depth at all, if you have any concern, bring it to medical attention. There are thousands of wounds that are being seen in emergency rooms today across the country. They are being attended to, and you will notice there are very few, if any, cases of necrotizing fasciitis that will follow, and that's because of good routine wound care.
One other thought, and it's an environmental one. Are we seeing, perhaps because of pollution in rivers or anything like that, the creation of environments where the bacterium that infected Amy Copeland might be happier living?
Well, bacteria adapt themselves to just about any environment, and we do live in a microbial world. And so there are bacteria around us all the time, hence the admonition, wash your hands frequently and thoroughly.
But you're saying there's nothing in our environment that's changed or in the way these bacteria operate that has changed that would make these cases any more common than they have been in the past?
That's correct. They're occurring at the same rate now that they did a few years ago. Of course, we have a larger population, so there may be a few more cases because we continue to do potentially hazardous things and sustain penetrating and other injuries. But other than that, there's nothing that's happening. This is not an epidemic in any way. These are not communicable infections.
In Amy Copeland's case, it took a while to realize what was happening. Are we learning anything that will alert us to something a little more quickly?
Yeah, these are very subtle infections if they are deep. And so what we're trying to promulgate is that we have to make these diagnoses quicker, and CAT scans help us to do that, but more than anything else, clinical awareness. And it's often the patient complaining of really bad pain, despite the fact that the surface wound may not look bad at all. And basic therapy consists of two things. One, appropriate antibiotics, but even more importantly, surgery, aggressive surgery. Because the wound where this is happening has to be opened, the dead tissue has to be taken out, and surgeons have to be aggressive because this infection spreads so rapidly, the surgeons have to keep up with it. And so it's not unusual for a surgeon to have to go back a second, a third, and perhaps even a fourth time to make sure that the surgery is complete.
Dr. William Schaffner is the chair of the Department of Preventive Medicine at the Vanderbilt University School of Medicine in Nashville. Dr. Schaffner, thank you very much for being with us. We really appreciate it.
A pleasure, Dennis.